This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, May the 23rd, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's talk about the high price of crude oil. We'll do that today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Our panelists today in studio are Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin, Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. This week in Washington, there's a lot of discussion about the high price of crude oil. What happens if Congress simply decides it's too high and does something about it?
What are they going to do about it is the question I have. I mean, we had our president go over to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia pretty much told him that's the way it is. So I don't see where Congress is going to have a lot to be able to do about it.
Jackie Vakes, of course, with Stewart Peterson Group. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
I'm in agreement with Jackie here. I can't see that Congress can take much action. I'm more nervous about CFTC rulings.
We'll come back to that in just a moment. And Steve Schilling.
I'm in total agreement also. I'm definitely not a politician, but I think this is above and beyond them. And how can our politicians in this country affect OPEC? I mean, they'll just laugh at us.
All right. So let's talk about the CFTC. And you were wanting to talk about that a bit, Wyatt. What did you see this week that interests you?
There's some thoughts out there that the CFTC may come in and rule in favor or against speculators in the markets. There's some people out there that think the speculators have distorted the market, and whether that's true or not is yet to be seen. But there's a camp of people out there that say that we need to go to higher margins to maintain an account. So the theory is if we up the margins, and some have even talked taking it to 100%, that takes the speculator out of the market or at least decreases their position. And not only that action, but the fear that that's going to happen would really cause crude oil to plummet.
And so there are some things on the governmental side that could happen for Congress to really do something about crude oil then.
And this isn't even so much in Congress even. It's by the CFTC.
Well, it's CFTC, but it's still a governmental body.
Correct.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit about the commodity markets then. In that case, we'll switch from Washington, D.C. to Chicago, where this week corn futures had a high in the nearby July contract at $6.11 and a quarter, a low at $5.82. Their settlement price up 8 3/4 for the week at $5.99 and 3/4. December futures 10.5 cents higher at $6.27 and a half. We'll throw the wheat market in for good measure at this time. July futures 8.09 and a half, the high, the low at 7.40. A settlement price there, 24.5 cents lower at $7.52 and a half, and July of 09 wheat at $8.28 and a half, down 3 cents. Anything of interest, Jackie, that you saw on the week in the corn pit that you made note of that gives you an idea that corn futures are going to trade sideways, that they'll move either to the upward or the downside in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think when you look at the corn market right now, we've been trading a range. We haven't really done anything that's been outstanding in terms of putting in any new highs or any new lows. So I think as long as the issue still rides over the top when it comes to weather, you're going to see traders really, really cautious about being too aggressive as far as selling goes. So I expect more range trade.
And then, Wyatt, you should have a pretty good handle of where we are. And I know we've talked about this on the air locally, or at least regionally, corn pretty much planted here. But there's some problems, I would think, in southern Illinois. What do you hear about Iowa, about the eastern Corn Belt? What kinds of things have been happening with corn planting there and the possibility of more bean acres?
Well, one thing that is for sure, the east got off to a good start and looks like the west is going to see a good finish. Talked to some folks in southern Illinois who are experiencing some replant and hearing of some extra seed working its way down there. I would say that Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and into Missouri are probably some of the laggards in what we'll see this upcoming planting progress. Hearing that the western folks are coming along pretty well, they had a nice week of progress, although there were more rains that came across today. Our food grade growers in Nebraska are very far along and have actually got a good start on their beans. I would anticipate that the western belt not only catches up but exceeds the east this week.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. In the guys that I've been talking to over in Iowa, though, we're making progress. But I've talked to more people who have been stuck with corn planters in the last week than I've ever done as long as I've been in the business. And so I talked with a large guy over here in Indiana today. He's only 65% done, and he's really got good land. So I think it's maybe spotty, but the bigger question comes down to just how much of this crop was put in really poor conditions.
Yeah, on that front, Steve, do you think the crop's been – how much do you think the crop has been hurt at this point by cold weather, by delayed planting? What are we looking at, a crop that can even come close to what USDA has forecast?
Well, my opinion, no, by looking at historical data. But on the other hand, tell me what the weather's going to be in June and July. I mean, it's been so strange for the whole month of May. If we continually have a wet, damp, cool June, you know, and everything gets moved back, it's potentially, we could have a good crop. A record crop, probably not at this point in time. I think one thing you ask about bean acres or switching to bean acres, I think we have to realize a lot of the nitrogen is already on some of this corn ground. And we're not looking at $300 nitrogen anymore. So they're going to fight this as long as they possibly can, so the switch to beans may not be quite as large as it would have been, say, 5-10 years ago when your input costs weren't near as high.
Well, but the folks in Missouri are saying that that's going to happen. I don't know whether it's because they side dress, but before they're far enough south that they're forced to side dress anyway, so it wasn't on. And Missouri and Ohio tend, according to the USDA data and the numbers that they released the last time around in the WASD report, are what they use to guide our national average yield. And I think they put it at 153.9. So if Missouri goes, does the rest of the nation?
Well, the problem with the 153.9, if you remember, we wound up in October and they're still using a 151 on the latest crop report for last year. We started out in September, I believe, at about 155. So to attain their 153, I think, is going to be a real stretch, in my opinion, at this point in time.
Well, I think so, too. And when you look at, I think you brought up a good point about nitrogen. You know, with all the heavy rains that we've had across the Midwest where all the nitrogen's put on, we don't know what the nitrogen leaching situation is, as well as I think the bigger issue is, was there as much nitrogen put on this year at the prices that we saw in contrast to what we see put on in years past? And regardless of the fact that the corn price is relatively is much higher than it was back then, the whole idea of having to pay $500 a ton for nitrogen is just absolutely foreign to a farmer. And so I think the yield question is not going to be answered until we get, you know, into the harvest time.
What do the Andersons have to say about that one? You sell fertilizer.
Well, we do not sell anhydrous or 28% at Champaign, but we can say that our sales were very well this past fall, and a lot of product went on last fall. So I would say the majority of people who applied in the fall probably planted those acres first. And it's going to be tough to generalize as a nation because it's hard to pick more than 20 miles in this area. It's been so spotty with the rains.
Let's poll our panelists here and see where they're headed. We'll do this for corn and beans both, but let's start with the corn. You're biased at this point in the corn market, and you can give me a time frame if you want to, whether you want to do 2 weeks, 3 months to the end of the year? We'll start with you, Jackie.
Oh, I knew you were going to point at me first.
Well, I can start on the right hand
I'm
side.
The most inflammatory. I know that's the way it is. I would have to say that I think that as we go down the road here, we're going to put a 7 in front of December corn. And if we run into any major pollination problems, we'll probably put an 8 there. For the near term, I think a lot of sideways trade until we get a little more information on what's going on. When it comes to the beans, I truly expect to see November beans challenge their old contract high of 14.73 and a quarter. I know people might think that's crazy, but you look at the 74.8 million acres the USDA currently is using, and all of us, I think, expect we're going to see more corn acres actually planted than what they said. You lose 8/10 of a bushel, and we're right back down to pipeline stocks again. So I think bean trade will probably be more of a range-bound trade for the moment, too.
Wyatt Muse?
In the short term, I would anticipate us to sell off a little bit. The June options expired today. At 115, July corn was 6¼ cents. It settled at 99¾, to me indicating a slight downward trend. But nonetheless, we bounced off our 50-day and are still maintaining this uptrending market. Our prices into the new crop are based off of these numbers that the USDA is putting out and expected yields at trend line. And my own bias is that we're not going to see a trend line yield nationwide. And any area of the United States that has a crop problem this year is going to open the door for explosive prices. On the soybean side, it's interesting to note the inverse working out of soybeans. It's moved $1.35 in less than a month since April 24th. So that's a pretty good, big move and reminiscent of the wheat market. So considering the high came in the wheat market prior to the inverse working out and considering how many potentially more beans are going to be planted because of our spring delays, I'm going to have a hard time seeing the soybeans challenge their highs in the new crop. Now, old crop, seeing the basis heat up at the processors, I could see that inverse coming back into the bean market in the short term.
And Steve Schilling.
Short term, I think we're going to follow crude oil. It's what the market has done all week. There's no reason we're going to get away from that. The market tells us that's what's going on. This is probably corn and beans both that are going to follow it along. I think one thing I will throw out that may be of interest, at least it's caught my eye, if you look at the development of the wheat throughout the country, particularly in the Delta, southern Illinois, the heavy soft red wheat areas, Emerson Nafziger, I know, went to southern Illinois this past week and said that if the old 6-week rule, it takes effect, they're not going to be able to double crop beans till the end of June in southern Illinois. And that's probably going to be true with the development of this wheat all over the wheat country, whether it's Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, southern Indiana, down into the Delta. So is that going to affect the double cropping plans for soybeans and sorghum? And it definitely could affect yield. So the potential for a perfect growing season in beans is probably paramount this summer.
And prices for beans?
You know, it's just hard to tell. It's where we're at now. I guess we probably will entertain at some time the old highs that we have seen, and the demand will take over and see what happens in southern South America if their planting intentions are going to be up. And it'll all be focused on weather. Same way on corn. You know, you can't really play a weather market in June unless you don't get it planted. After June, it'll become very, very important, and the trade will definitely react to that.
Wyatt Muse, given your thoughts on the new crop soybeans, would you suggest producers make sales?
If no one started making sales, or if you as an individual have not started making sales, I'm not afraid to aim at that $13 cash mark right at the Andersons. Now we're about 25 cents away from that, and it's not very far of a move in the bean market. One thing that has really been interesting in the beans is the rumors coming out of Argentina with the strike. That's been a major driver in the beans for what seems like about a month now, and it's on again, off again, and it's really almost a soap opera as far as you can't predict what one group or the other is going to do. And as soon as those rumors or facts, as they may be, hit the floor, the bean market reacts 40 cents either direction. So just keep a watch on that and put your offers in at the higher end.
Cash sales, what do you think?
Well, I'm not suggesting cash sales right now, but I am certainly using put strategies. I think that there's opportunity for more upside. When I look at the when I look at 40 cents trading range, like Wyatt was talking about, the average trading range right now on beans is running about 52 cents. So what's a 40 cent trading range? And compared, it's a lot compared to what we used to look at. So to me, I think you should lock up some price. It's a good price. You've got money made, but don't do it in a hard cash form. Do it in a way that gives you the ability to be able to gain if the market goes higher.
Any final advice from you?
No, I'm in agreement with Tham. I'm probably a little more conservative. We've got a lot of our clients already sold in the 08 crop. It, you know, when you take a profit in this business, you can't go broke. And the old adage is there's always room in these markets for bulls and there's always room for bears, but the hogs always get slaughtered. That was taught to me about 30 years ago, and it's an adage I've never forgot.
All right. In a couple of minutes, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Very quickly, the oats settled at 385.5. They were down 8.5 cents from last week's close.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. There wasn't much of a change in the weather regime this week as a cooler-than-normal weather pattern remained entrenched over Illinois. A large persistent trough of low pressure aloft was responsible for the cool weather over Illinois and much of the Midwest. Temperatures this week across the state range from 6 degrees below normal in the far south to 10 to 12 degrees below normal across much of the rest of the state. Fortunately, it was a pretty dry week until Thursday when rain once again spread across the northern two-thirds of the state. The dry weather allowed spring planting to continue in many areas where it had been running well behind normal. Late spring to early summer weather will kick off the unofficial start of summer this Memorial Day weekend as both temperatures and dew points begin to rise. High temperatures over the weekend will be in the 80s by Sunday and by Monday in many areas, and you will notice that it will be more humid than it has been as well. Most of the weekend will be dry, but showers and thunderstorms are possible by Monday across Illinois, especially in the north, as a cold front starts to push through the state. The chances for rain should stick with us through Tuesday, and then a few more days of dry weather are likely as high pressure sets up over the upper Midwest. Temperatures will be fairly close to normal, which will seem warm compared to the rest of May so far. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today for Commodity Week on this Friday, the 23rd, are Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group from West Bend, Wisconsin. Our guest today is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Sue.
Afternoon.
The last time we were in Iowa at the Farm Progress Show was in 2006. And at that time, you were an $8 bean fiend. When we get to Farm Progress Show and we're there again in August of this year, what will you be talking about?
Oh, good grief. I have no clue. You never know what's coming out of this mouth these days. But I will say this. I think that with what's going on in the bean complex and the energy markets around the world, you know, China reportedly has like 3 days of supply of coal on hand. And, of course, having the earthquake is comparable to like our Hurricane Katrina. It's such a major issue. It hit right in the breadbasket of the country. And, of course, within 3 days, they were in our world market buying steel, cement, coal, and soybeans. And we'd been seeing them in the market pretty aggressively. And I thought our export sales this past week showing new crop sales pretty aggressive at this early of a stage, looking even in the face of bigger acres and the potential to maybe gain more acres yet, I think is very telling. And so I look at the energy. I think crude's going to 144. It may hit higher than that. And I think that when you've got China, even though other countries are seeming like their demand is starting to slip, like South Korea has been, I think their demand for crude has been down for about 6 months in a row now. But you see what happens in China and India, and they are such huge consumers of energy and are continuing to grow so and can't seem to get enough. And I tend to think that when you look at that, you know, even at this stage of the game in the U.S., with crude as high as it is and gasoline as high as it is, I think we're seeing a higher blender rate of ethanol into fuel, into gasoline, and it's just being reported as the E85 or whatever, but there's more going into it because it's just so inexpensive. We're seeing a lot of that in Florida. And so I tend to think that this continues to underpin soybean oil, probably corn to some degree, but soybean oil, and because I also believe that the Chinese rapeseed crop has been hurt just horribly bad. And I think they'll find we'll hear more and more news of that as we go down the road here through June. And so I tend to be very friendly to beans. I think that the highs are going to be looked at, and I think that we may exceed them. If we start to take these highs out, now remembering for lead month, the high all-time high is 1571, for the which was the May contract that made that high. And for the July contract, what's interesting is there's a tendency when July beans put a high in late February to March, they tend to come back. They can have a break, but they tend to come back and look at it again. And I think that if we take those highs out, oh, there's targets of 1780, whatever have you, 1823. But to be honest with you, I think we'll put a 2 in front of beans. And so I think that if the right pattern sets up here between now and the 6th of June, you know, we had an inside range week. So far, we are within the range of the month of April, but hovering at the high side of it. I don't look for the highest or the lowest come out of April in the month of May, especially with the weather that we have calling and delaying the bean plantings, especially in a major state like Illinois. So I tend to think we're going to push at the upper side. I look for 14-15 to come out. What I'd like to see is it happen this next week, and then get a pullback into the 6th of June that is a low of a higher degree. We may not do it that way, but that 6th of June is extremely important timing. I have it on corn, wheat, and beans straight across the board, but it's very important to beans. It's comparable to the highs of January and to the highs of March.
Sue, May 7th, the local processor started bending the November soybeans for nearby delivery. At that time, it was trading a 70-cent inverse. This week, we saw that go to a carry. Do you see that continuing? Do you see us going back to an inverse? And would you recommend old crop sales before new crop sales for producers?
No, I would not, because I'm so friendly beans, period. As far as the spread goes between the inverse or carry, I wouldn't be surprised to see that spread go back to an inverse. But I don't think it's ever going to be the hot item that, unless we get a really major issue going where we tighten up our stocks appreciably in the old crop, I don't think we'll see that bull spread work. One of you mentioned, and I think it may have been you, Wyatt, that mentioned about how the spread has not been, you know, the bull spreading hasn't really been working similar to what wheat did, and that is true. Wheat, you know, when it did its bull spreading, it peaked in December, fell, and the markets fell, and then we came back with new all-time highs in wheat, and the bull spreads never worked. You've seen the same thing happen in beans. Their peak came last year as well, in November, don't hold me to that, but I think in November, and then as we went to new all-time highs in March, the spreads never kept pace. I have a feeling those spreads aren't going to be the item this year. I think it seems to be outright trade. So I don't think that, but yet when we get to even money or to a little bit of a carry, I'm a little apprehensive with it. In corn, I think we deserve to have a carry. When you're looking at the high cost of inputs on this new crop, it deserves to have a better carry.
Sue, I have a question for you. You mentioned that you thought the crude oil was going to a high of 144, which is only $12 and some odd cents away. If that is attained very quickly, would that put in a short-term high in corn?
It could. It sure could. I view corn as, it got to this level because of the weather and the delayed plantings and the concern that we knew we were going to drop carries nearly in half, even at what the USDA was projecting. Now, the USDA is projecting 153.9 bushel per acre yield. That's largely where it's at, higher than a year ago, but largely where it's at because we are getting rid of the fringe areas, and therefore that brings the national average up because it's your better producing areas that are there. However, that crop has, like Jackie said, the crop has not gone in under good conditions. It's gone in under very bad conditions, mudded in. Now, these rains that we're kind of getting, like today through Iowa, has kind of helped take some of that crust over effect away a little bit, but still certainly delaying the guys getting back in to replant the mudded out areas that they never got to. Either they have to replant it or get it planted. But Iowa has made great strides, and Minnesota too has. But the temperatures are so cool that the emergence is not good, and even if it's there, we've seen years where it's cool and the stuff comes through and it just sits there, and it maybe doesn't have a good color, but, you know, once it hits the nitrogen and the temperatures warm up, that corn can grow so fast you almost think you can see it grow. But the thing with corn is I think we got up to these levels because of the weather and the late plantings. Well, that's priced in. And we had everybody long going into the government reports at the end of March. When they seen the acres, they added to their positions. So it always felt like a market that was loaded up, and you know, the boat gets so heavy at some point it's got a tip. And yet underneath, we know that we're extremely vulnerable this year because we're already running so late. And as late as this crop goes, and you replant, not to mention, but you replant, and as late as this crop is, if these cool temperatures continue with us, it's just going to delay the pollination time, and it's also going to send the potential to send us into a frost period. Also, the corn may not dry down as good this fall, and for the first time in 5 years, we may have to dry corn down to get it into our bins, and that's going to be extremely expensive this year. So there's more ramifications here. Does corn, if corn starts to slip back down and it gets down under 580, I suspect you're going to see a lot of people sell into it because they think then that the top is in. That's probably a healthy thing and what we need to see, because then as we turn and come towards pollination time into July, I think the market is going to be so nervous because 90% of your yield is decided at pollination. And that's when I think the market turns and it starts getting steamy and moving back up on anticipation of it. And, of course, we've got to deal with the USDA final acres at the end of June in between that. But the market will be very cognizant of it at that time because there's where your real once we always get the crop in. But to get it pollinated is a major thing and the more important thing. And I think the markets are going to be more dicey in that time frame. And that's where I think you could see corn come up through these highs and possibly take these corn up towards 680, possibly 723. I have a lot of resistance around the 720 to 23 mark. We get these corn there, there's a lot of trouble there.
We'll have to end it there. Thanks much.
Thank you.
And that's Sue Martin with Ag Investment Services in Webster City, Iowa. Our thanks to the folks here in studio, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons, Jackie Bakes of Stewart Peterson Group, and Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign. And that is this edition of Commodity Week for the 23rd day May of 2008. Have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.